Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it says, those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, don't fool yourself. Before you judge them, the Bible says, oh, some of you were like that. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Bible points out the sins or the sinful behavior that will keep you out of heaven. But then he says, but God cleaned you up when you repented and said, I'm sorry, and now you're on your way to heaven. That's good news. See, there's no reason for any individual to go to hell because Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And as we believe and we trust in him, that's how we all make it to heaven. Can we give God some praise for Jesus Christ who paid the price for our salvation? Now, the sin of presumption has brought painful consequences and destruction to many people's lives. It can happen to those who seem closest to God. And this is why you have to guard your own heart against pride and familiarity with God, because to become too familiar with God can lead to your destruction. This makes me think about my Aunt Belle. When I was just a little boy, my Aunt Belle, she grew up in the church, and every now and then, when she was on one of her drinking bends, she would come to our house, and my mom would let us stay in the basement, and I'd go down and talk to Aunt Belle. I'd try to witness her as a little boy. Now, Aunt Belle, you know, God doesn't want you to behave like this. You shouldn't be on the bottle like that, and you need to trust in the Lord. And she'd say, Sonny, I grew up in the church. And then she'd say, Stevie, I know the man. I know the man upstairs. Now, I was a little boy, so I was being respectful, but in my mind, I was saying, well, if you know him, you know he doesn't accept that behavior. Auntie, you're not going to heaven with a bottle in your hand and asking Gabriel to hold the bottle as I enter. It's not going to happen. You need to give up your sinful ways. This is what's in my mind. And I'd say to Mom, Mom, what can we tell Aunt Belle? She knows it. She knows it. She knows it already. We just have to pray for Aunt Belle. And thank God, after years, she got it. She received the Lord and she follow the Lord. Thank God for that. The point I'm trying to make is she knew the Lord since she was a child. But she became too familiar with God and thought that it was all right to sin. Somehow God was going to excuse it. Let me give you an example in the Bible of some people who found out that presumption can lead to death. The Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. And when David requested that it be moved to Jerusalem in 1 Samuel 7:1, it tells us the story. It says, so the men came to get the ark of the Lord. They took it from the hillside home of Abinadab. And the Bible says it had been there a long time, 20 years. And when David wanted to move it, Abinadab's two sons, Uzzah and Ahio, accompanied the ark, driving it on a new wagon. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to touch the ark of the Lord and to hold it up because the oxen shook it. Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, folks, the ark represented God's presence, his holiness. It was sacred. And God gave strict instructions how to transport the ark of his presence. He would have priests. They had to, the priests couldn't even touch it. They had staves, long poles that they had to slide under it, and they had to carry it. And you didn't dare touch it. You didn't touch God. And that's the way it was instructed to happen. And here they're bringing it on an ox cart. And when they hit a little hole, it was going to the side. And this young man who had been around it for 20 years, he had grown up seeing the ark in his living room. So he felt comfortable in its presence, but his familiarity led to his death. Uzzah touched the glory of God and died. You need to understand, you can get so used to God that you can go right to hell on a pew in the church. You can go to hell from being in church every Sunday. You can go to hell from serving in the church. You can go to hell from preaching in the pulpit. Not this preacher, but it can happen. It can happen because presumptuous sins that, oh God, you understand, you know me. I heard one Christian say, well, you know, we all sin. We all sin. God knows that we're imperfect. We got to sin. We're going to sin. I said, the devil is a liar. The Lord rebuke you. That is not true. God expects us to live holy lives, holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Moses got caught up in the same trap of familiarity. I hate to tell you that. But God puts it in the Bible to let us know how serious this is. There is a danger of becoming too close with God. So close that you treat him common. You don't treat him like the creator of the universe. You don't fear what can happen to you, whether you go to heaven and hell. Because you just think, I'm eternally secure. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to heaven. I said the prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my Savior. I'm on my way. Jesus said, it's more than that. Jesus said, you've got to do the will of my Father to make it to heaven. Anything else is presumptuous. Anything else is presumption. Moses, after knowing God so well, disobeyed and disrespected him. Now, I know this is hard for us to consider. What happened was God instructed him to provide water for the people in a certain way, but Moses was angry with the people, so he did it his way. He disobeyed God. This is found in Numbers chapter 20 and 12. God said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me, you didn't treat me with holy reverence in front of the people of Israel, you two aren't going to lead them into the land that I'm giving them. And then in Deuteronomy 34 and 1, it says, Moses went up to the top of Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed up the mountain, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him and said, there's the land, there's the whole land that I'm giving them. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised as an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter into the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in Moab. That's pretty hard to think about. Moses, who had led the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery, God performed miracle after miracle through Moses. He parted the Red Sea. He was in the wilderness for 40 years and he lived. He went up on the mountain twice for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted without eating and sleeping. One time he came down. The Bible says his face was glowing with the glory of God. They had to put a veil over his face because it was so bright. The Bible says God spoke with Moses as a man speaks to his friend. And yet, when Moses presumed upon that relationship, friend to friend, but disobedience, God said, it stops right here. I'm God. I will be obeyed. You must obey my word. You must. Therefore, you are not going into the promised land, the place I told you from the beginning you were leading the people in. You have just changed your destiny. You have just changed my plan. It was your choice, and you took advantage of it by disobeying me. That's presumption. Don't think you can live your life any way you want, and God is going to rubber stamp it, or God is going to look the other way when you sin. It's not going to happen. Well, I served God for 50 years. I'm on my way to heaven only if you live right. Only if you obey God.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to read one of my favorite scripture verses to you. It's Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future filled with hope. Then you will call upon me and go to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
There are no special backroom situations with God. There are no backroom deals with God. Everybody comes the same way. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through obedience to God's word, is the only way you can make it into heaven. Moses found out when he disobeyed God, he could not go into the promised land. His act of familiarity with God disqualified him from the promised land. Again, it's because he lost the fear of God. And he was judged by God for disobeying him. I want to give you one more person. David also became too familiar with God. What, King David? Yeah, King David. King David had his affair with Uriah's wife because he became too familiar with God. The story tells us in 2 Samuel 11 and 2, it says, late one afternoon, after his midday rest, he got up on the roof, and he was walking on the roof of the palace and looked down and saw a beautiful woman bathing, and he sent someone to find out who she was, and they said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah. He sent messages and said, well, tell her to come up to my room because I want to sleep with her, and he did. Wait. He lost the fear of the Lord. After everything he went through, I want you to clearly think about what I'm saying to you. If it happened to King David, it can happen to you. God anointed David with the Holy Spirit. He helped him to defeat the giants in his life. He promoted him to be captain of Saul's army. He promoted him to be Saul's son-in-law. He protected him when Saul tried to kill him. All those years in the wilderness, God promoted him to take King Saul's place, and God always defeated all of his enemies. Yet David became presumptuous and too familiar with God. So a year after marrying Bathsheba, after murdering her husband, God sent the prophet Nathan to talk to him. This is found in 2 Samuel 12 and 7. The Lord God of Israel says to you, David, I appointed you king and I saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you his house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And If that had not been enough, David, I would have given you much, much more. Listen to what God is saying to this man. But this is the part I want you to hear. God said, why then have you despised the word of the Lord? Why then have you done this terrible deed? You have murdered Uriah and stolen his wife. And from this time on, the sword will be constantly a threat to your family because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. And one of the consequences was David's daughter was assaulted by her own brother and raped. Two of his sons were killed. Folks, it is possible to place your own desires above the will and plan of God in your life, even though you've been following him. This can happen to you, but it will not end well. It can't. Romans chapter 9 and 21 asks the question, does not the potter have the power over the clay? God is the potter. We're simply clay. Doesn't he have the right to guide our lives, to tell us how to live? We ought to give God complete authority in our lives. In Isaiah 64 and 8, it answers that question. It says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Have your own way. But David slept with Bathsheba. He killed her husband. Yet God had said he was a man after his own heart. I just wanted to figure out. It's because David had a heart ready to repent. See, nobody's perfect. I said nobody's perfect. But God expects you to repent of your sins. Keep short accounts with God. You do something wrong, go right to God and meet, Lord, I am so sorry. I repent of this deed. I will never do it again. Repentance means to go in the opposite direction. It doesn't mean, okay, I got caught. I hope I don't get caught again. It's saying, I'm done with this. No more, Lord. Forgive me. Cover me with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 51, it talks about David's prayer of repentance. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify my sin. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me every day. Purify my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 8, oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me and I need to rejoice once again. Create in me a clean heart. Verse 10, oh God, renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and please don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Make me willing to obey you. Some of us need to pray that prayer. We all need to pray it. Make me willing to obey you. Now, how do we obtain a heart to fear the Lord? Let me give you just a few principles. Number one, pray for the desire to fear the Lord. You've got to pray for it. These are spiritual things I'm talking about. It requires God's help. Nehemiah 1 and 11, it says, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to my prayer and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Lord, give me a desire to fear your name. Number two, refuse to compromise in any area of your life. Refuse it. Refuse it. Psalm 86 and 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. An undivided heart, no compromise. Number three, we receive a revelation for who God really is. See, when you really understand that you're dealing with the God who created the universe, then it will instill the fear of the Lord in you. Number four, submit your life as a living sacrifice to God. Don't hold anything back. Don't keep any door locked in your house. Don't leave any closet locked in your life. You have got to let God have free access to every area of your life. Romans 12 and 1, it says, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices dedicated to God, pleasing to Him. Number 5, trust God in every area of your life. Psalm 34 and 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who puts their trust in Him. Then there's number 6. God wants you to read. He wants you to memorize. He wants you to repeat His holy word. And we find this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything that's written in it. For only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And number 7, to know God, to begin by the fear of the Lord and reverence, you've just got to do it. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do it in your life, because God reveals Himself to those who reverence Him. I trust that these messages have changed our lives. I've heard from many people about the messages and how it has changed their life. Guys, look, this is one of the most important messages that can be given. God releases rewards to us. God wants us to have a proper relationship with Him so that we can fulfill our destiny, fulfill the purpose wherewith we were born. There's a mission on your life. There's a plan God has for you. The devil's going to do everything he can to cause you to become too familiar with God. It's okay. God understands. He knows I'm shy. He knows this is not really something I would like to do, so I'm just going to wait until something opens up. He understands I've got to pay all my bills. I don't have the ability to pay my tithes. God's going to fix that for me. How about faith? How about trusting God? How about submission to God? How about believing His holy word? Folks, God is challenging us today. He's challenging our relationship with Him. He has so much more for us, but we've got to step out and obey Him. We've got to step out and realize that we are really dealing with the God of the universe. We've got to submit to His sovereignty. We've got to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to do it. I surrender all. And when you do that, God will heap rewards on your life. And the Bible says when you submit to God and you resist the devil, all of his attack, he will flee from you because you possess the fear of the Lord.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was part 2 of Fear of the Lord and the Danger of Familiarity. Now, Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, you know each of us individually. You know our needs. Father, you have asked us to come to you with all of our fears and all of our concerns. Father, there are many listening under the sound of my voice right now. Lord, they're uncertain about their lives and the things that are pressing up against them. I'm praying now that you would make a way, that you would step in. We're praying for divine intervention. Father, we know that it comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, in any area of our lives, we give you permission right now to make a change. Save us. Deliver us from ourselves. Help us, oh God. Give us the strength to serve you, to obey you. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. And so we wait on you, but we wait in faith. We know that you've heard this prayer. We know that change is coming, and we believe this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.